Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Today we start a series of sermons on the Lord's Prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. Our Catholic friends call it the Our Father. And it should probably be called the Disciples' Prayer, because this is what Jesus taught his disciples. First reading is from Luke. Luke is very interested in Jesus as an example of prayer. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And then in the Gospel of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, we have the Lord's Prayer. He says to his disciples, "Pray then in this way, Our Father in heaven." Now, at this time, the Jewish people had been conquered by so many different people, so many different times, that they had lost their own language. And the spoken language of the day was Aramaic. And Jesus very uniquely uses an Aramaic word in his address of God. And no one else in his time period would speak this way. He uses the word Abba, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'm going to date myself here. Do you remember Ed Sullivan? Yes. I was growing up in his day. I think he lived in Bronxville, down south of us, but he actually had property here in town. And when I was growing up, he had a very popular variety show on TV on Sunday night, if I remember right. And if my memory is serving me correctly, he was sort of a bent-over kind of figure, and he could never say the word show. He said, "We have a tremendous shoe for you today." Almost S-H-O-E, a tremendous shoe for you today. And every once in a while, he would get his words mixed up, put his foot in his mouth to a humorous effect. And on one occasion, Sergio Franchi, who was a very famous singer at the time, sang Malott's The Lord's Prayer, did an absolutely beautiful job. And at the end of that, Ed Sullivan came forward and said, "Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for..." And he had a senior moment. He couldn't think of Sergio Franchi's name. And so he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for the Lord's Prayer." And I think the Lord's Prayer is something to applaud. It's one of God's great gifts to us. Jesus was praying, and the disciples asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And that's significant, I think, because in the gospel accounts, they never ask him, You know, show us how to do miracles. Show us how to teach. Show us how to preach. They never ask that. Their question is, Lord, teach us how to pray. And he answers with the words of what we know today as the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven. And this month we'll be looking at this very basic prayer in our Christian tradition. We'll be looking at it for its own power, but also as a power, as a pattern for our own prayers. And we begin today with that opening line, Our Father who art in heaven. The Lord's Prayer begins with God. Our Father. You know, the Jewish people, on occasion, it was rare, but on occasion, the Jewish people would address God as Father in their prayers. But they would use a very formal kind of word, a very respectful kind of word. Jesus is very different in what he does. He takes this word Abba, this Aramaic word Abba, which is a little child's word, a little child's address to a parent. It's hard to translate into English. It's almost dad or mom. It's very intimate, very personal. And the average Jewish person would have thought this was terrible, this was disrespectful, this was totally inappropriate. Yet this is the word Jesus uses for God, Abba, Father. In the Gospel of Mark, in Gethsemane, he prays, Abba, Father, let this cup pass from me. On the cross, he prays, Abba, Father, I place myself in your hands. I commit myself to your hands. For Jesus, God is more like a parent's heart than anything else we know. Think about that. More like a parent's heart than anything else we know. Have you ever walked out into the night and felt there was a presence there, that there was someone else there? Have you ever walked into a dark room and had that same kind of feeling that you weren't alone, that there was something else there? Helmut Thielicke, who's a German scholar, used to say we are all like sentries calling out into the night, who goes there? And Jesus' answer is Abba, Father. This God whose love can shatter the darkness. Now again, I don't know if you've had this experience, but again, when I was little, even before Ed Sullivan's time, when I was very little, in Ridgewood, New Jersey, there was a Woolsworth, 5 and 10. It's gone today. But there was a Woolsworth. And I thought this was a fascinating place. My parents would come and they'd do whatever they had to do. And I'd get bored. And way off in the distance was the toy section. And so, slowly but surely, I'd make my way away from my parents and whatever they were doing over to the toy section. And there was everything for a little boy's delight. Toy cars, toy planes, nice red wagon with wooden siding, a Lone Ranger cowboy outfit, just everything for a little boy's heart. But at some point, all of a sudden, I would realize that I didn't know where my parents were. And there was this primal fear that came over me, that I was all alone, that the ground under my feet was just, you know, represented by my parents at that age, was just taken away. Jesus tells us we're not alone. That primal fear is not necessary. Abba, this Father, is there for us. We are not alone. Now, I think, you know, most of us try to be the best parents we can be, and we all fall short. In my own family, I was very fortunate. You know, I never doubted my parents' love. But not everybody has that experience. And some people have had very poor parents, very poor mothers and fathers. But I think most of us at least have some idea of what a good parent should be, don't we? Regardless of what we've experienced in our own upbringing, we have some idea of what a good parent should be. And Jesus says that God is like that parent, that good parent. Again, God is more like a parent's heart, a good parent's heart, than anything else that we know. Abba, Father. Let's step back a bit. You notice the first word in the Lord's Prayer is our. Our Father. Which is a bit of a shock for us in America because our attention is pretty much on the individual. Maybe too much so. But the Lord's Prayer is all in the plural. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation. Forgive us our trespasses. It's all in the plural. And I think this has some implications for us. And I'll just mention a few things to start you thinking here. First of all, it means when we pray the Lord's Prayer, even when we're absolutely alone, we're off on a desert island someplace. The people of God are praying that prayer with us, our Father. It means when we pray, we lift up not our own needs, but the needs of our brothers and sisters. And I think that word our also reminds us of this. That we all come from different backgrounds, we're different people, different experiences. You know, we're rich and poor and everything in between, Republicans and Democrats. We're people from different ethnic and national backgrounds, different races. But that our Father, reminds us that transcending all those differences, transcending all those differences is the fact that we all stand as equals in God's love, no matter what our background. Our Father, Abba, Abba. Our Father who art in heaven. What do you make of that? Heaven. I can remember again when our kids were little, we were up in a plane flying above the clouds, and it was just a beautiful scene with the sun coming down. The clouds were actually almost golden in the sunshine. And one of our little daughters at that point said, you know, looking out the window, this is where God lives. What is heaven? I think in ancient times, of course, the people thought that God lived above the dome of the sky. That was the common outlook of the time. In our day, we have a different cosmology and a different science. How are we to understand this word heaven? Jesus actually defines it only once that I know of. It's in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is where God's will is done. John Glenn was our astronaut in the old days, back in the days of the Cold War, and he met his counterpart, a Russian by the name of Titov, and Titov was kind of a snarky guy. And, you know, hints of Richard Dawkins today. Titov says to Glenn, who was a churchman, an active churchman, did you see God when you were up in space? I don't think I saw a man with a big beard up there. Did you see God? And John Glenn said this, the God I believe in is not the kind you could see through the window of a space capsule. And I think he's right. And perhaps one sort of beginning look at this word, heaven, is just to realize how we use it in daily speech. What is heavenly? When we say something's heavenly, something's wonderful, something's beautiful, something's great. And I think all those words describe God. We're not dealing with a postal address when we're talking about heavenly. There's a sense in which we're talking about the kind of God we're talking about. There's something else here. Our Heavenly Father who art in heaven. I think this reminds us that God is transcendent, that God is wholly other, that God is majestic, that God is great beyond anything our minds can get around. You know, this God, who called us into existence and gave us the gift of life, this God who has called the universe into being beyond anything we can conceive of, also invites us to come and pray and address him as Abba, Father, a parent's heart. And this reminds us that we shouldn't sentimentalize our understanding of God. God is not our buddy. God is not our chum. God's not our matey. This is a God who is the holy other, the transcendent, the one who's given us the gift of life, beyond anything we know and understand, and yet a God who loves us. Today, you know, I think we stand with the disciples when they ask Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. We hear those words in response, Abba, Father, our Father, who art in heaven. be continued.